Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Romeo, mobile band monitoring.
Aviate RBP, good morning.
That was K-E-A-B-R-D, correct? W-A-S-F-R?
That's KB8RVP, Kilo Bravo 8, Romeo Victor Papa, Mike and Fenton.
All right, Kilo Bravo 8, Romeo Victor Papa. This is Ryan here, Whiskey 8, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Romeo, and I am in the Lapeer area. And how are you on this morning?
Yeah, doing great. I work from home, just got done closing out a ticket, got a lady helped out down in Florida, and waiting for the next call to come in. Heard you throw your call out, thought I'd say good morning to you. Whereabouts are you located?
I'm home right now, but my QTH is south of, just south of Lapeer.
Yeah, it's pretty nice having this system all linked together. Got the Fenton repeater and the Lapeer repeater, the Flint Burton repeater, along with Saginaw and Lansing and all the other ones, so it works out really nice. Never know where you're going to pick somebody up from.
Yeah, I'm heading into work right now, and I'm very happy because every day this week, and even a couple days last week, I made contact with someone while on my way to work. So that makes me very happy.
Yeah, I haven't had to drive into work very often anymore. I work from home most of the time. I still have an office in Flint. Used to do the IT support for Diplomat Specialty Pharmacy. They got bought by Optum. So I work for Optum now. I've been in three times this year. I'm sure I'll go in a couple more times. I've got an office. I can go in and see the guys that I work with occasionally. And if Craig's on vacation, then I back him up. We've got a big, huge shipping pharmacy in the building, like a big conveyor system. And if the conveyor system goes down and nobody can pack or ship the medications that need to go out, then they call one of us in to get the line back up and running. But occasionally I just go in so Craig and I can hang out or have lunch. Catch up, works out pretty nice. And if the internet goes out or the power goes out, which has happened a couple times, I could just go into work. It's only a 20-minute drive, so it's nice to have that as a backup as well.
That sounds interesting, and at least Fenton to Flint, that's a pretty decent drive. You're about 5 minutes longer than my drive into work. Mine's only 15 minutes.
Well, it's one of the shortest drives that I've had during my career. I supported General Motors service parts. I had to drive to Pontiac every day, and then they moved me to Swartz Creek. And then I was supporting Delphi Automotive in Flint, and they moved to Troy and Brighton. So I was driving to Brighton every day. And then I got on a project at NextEar up in Saginaw. It was a 50-mile drive each way. And Troy was about, I think it was 35, 40 miles. And then they moved me to Auburn Hills for a couple of years. So, yeah, at the longest drive, I think I was putting 26,000 miles a year on my car. Working from home really saves the vehicles. You can pay it off and keep on driving it. You don't have to get a new one every 5 years or anything. There was a point where I was doing an oil change every 4 to 6 weeks.
I put on roughly 20 on mine a year just because of the fact I drive all over the place. I drive down to Pontiac and Clarkston for church-related stuff from Lapeer. So Pontiac's a pretty good hike from Lapeer. It takes me 45 minutes, sometimes 50, to get down there. So, yeah, the miles add up. And then last year, I was heavily pursuing someone who she lives 35 minutes away, and I was always hanging out with her. So, yeah, it was, put a lot of miles on my car. Not too happy about that, but most of them were worth it.
Came you there, VP? Yeah, the best part was having amateur radio along for the ride in all my vehicles. I've done a lot of installs and uninstalls over the years. And the same group that's got this set up had a 440 analog system set up, and I could go to Pontiac, I could go to Auburn Hills, I could go to Saginaw, Flint, and talk to the same group of guys on the morning with the linked repeater system, and man, it was great. Didn't matter which way I was going to head that morning. I could go all the way up to Saginaw or all the way down to Auburn Hills. Troy was a little too far until they got the link down in down by Auburn Hills. And then I could make it all the way to Troy. So that worked out great. I could even go to Brighton and talk to the same group every morning. So made the drive seem like a lot shorter. You're pulling in the parking lot, and you still got some things to talk about, but it was time to sign off and head into work for the day.
I really know that feeling. I know exactly what that's like, and I'm more limited in my capabilities. I'm just running a handheld into a MagMount antenna, so I only have, if you take a repeater and you draw a 20-mile circle around that repeater, that's about the range that I have, because obviously as I'm approaching it, I got about 10 miles, and as I'm going away from it, I got about 10 miles of range. So occasionally when I'm driving, I'll hit a dead spot. But that's what the national calling frequency is for, and see if I can find something out there.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about having these linked systems. If you're heading to Flint, you can switch over to the Burton repeater. If you're heading up to Saginaw, you can switch to the Saginaw repeater. Lansing, Fenton, works out really nice. You just have to have them all programmed in. You can switch along your trip. Yeah, that's the way I started out. I got my license in 1994, and I went to Radio Shack and picked up a 2-meter handheld, got a speaker mic, got a cigarette lighter adapter for it, got a 3-watt or a 3-amp power supply at home, and had an outside antenna. I lived in an apartment at the time, and my landlord let me put up a small 2-meter MFJ antenna that was easy to remove without any damage. It had a mag mount for the car. At the time, I was working out in Davison and living in Fenton, and that little handheld, I could go just about anywhere I wanted around Genesee County. It worked great. Then I could come home and hook it up to the base. I could put the rubber ducky on it and go for a walk. The cheapest all-mode radio I've ever had.
Yeah, I just got my base station established. It's a 2-meter mobile radio that I'm using as a base station right now, so that's up and running. I got to get the antenna higher, 6 feet off the ground, but it's only a temporary pole I have it on. But the handhelds worked pretty well. I mean, from Flint to Lansing, I go through a couple dead spots, but I'll usually tap into either Durand or Owosso. Durand, I don't know if it's man-made, but there's been a lot of static. A lot of static. It's gotten to the point where I've had to turn my radio off because it'll just be a good 10 seconds of static and nothing. It may be short. Sounds like someone keeps kerchunking. I don't know what it is, so I usually go to Owosso before Lansing.
Oh, yeah, I've seen instances like that. Some radios, when you get into the city environment, like when I used to drive up to Flint every day, I would, for some reason, on 2 meters, I would get cars 108, I think it was, radio station, that would bleed over on the 2-meter side and almost wipe it out. Just for like a mile, there was a mile section where it would just wipe the receive out. And you'd get, you don't hear the term much anymore, but you'd get Intermod in some of the big city environments. You've got radio stations, TV stations, and you know, all the different interference. And back then, you had paging towers, and all the different frequencies would kind of intermingle downtown in some of the urban areas. And it would just wipe out the receive on your radio. Nobody'd be talking, but you'd have all this stuff coming in. And then all the repeaters started using tones where you could turn on the tone squelch, not just for transmit, but for receive, and it helped a lot. I'm into radar detectors. I've always had a radar detector in my car my whole life, and radar detectors are the same way. Sometimes you'd get in certain areas and it would just go off. There was nothing around, but it was picking up interference. A lot of the new cars have blind spot monitoring radar on them, and that'll mess up the older or the cheaper radar detectors. If you get the new ones, the good ones, they've got a lot of filters built in to block all that out. And same thing with the radios.
Oh, my vehicle does not have blind spot monitoring, so I guess I don't have to worry about that. Even so, my radio was brand new, and I purchased it when I first got licensed back in April, and then I changed my call sign in May. But, yeah, anyways, I am in my work's parking lot now, so I'm going to say 7-3s. It was a pleasure making your acquaintance and for keeping me company on the drive into work. I hope you have a wonderful day. This is Whiskey H, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Romeo. I am clear on your final.
Yeah, I'm glad I could ride along with you. Have a good day at work. 7-3. KD8RVP, clear.
NT0Y Mobile.
B8OOE Mobile.
Kilo Echo 8, Mike Yankee November monitoring.
TAD monitoring.
TF8DRD.
TM8DAD, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how's it going?
Going pretty good. I'm out of work for the day, so, yeah, going to a picnic and, looking forward to having some good burgers here in a little bit. How are you this afternoon?
Not too bad. Also, got done with working not too long ago. I had to run to the store and figured I'd play around with the mobile.
Yeah, had the same thought here. Where you work at?
I do heating and cooling, Applegate Home Comfort.
Oh, okay. Yep. I heard of those folks. What do you do there?
I'm a retro installer.
Yeah, sounds like fun work.
Yeah, it has its challenges, but also has its rewards. When you go to a job that the previous companies who were there kind of hacked it up a little bit, and you go in and you kind of fix everything up and get it the way it should be, it's pretty rewarding.
Yeah, there is a satisfaction to fixing things up and making sure they run right, that's for sure.
Can't tell you how many jobs I've shown up to, and the ductwork looks like a patch, you know, just a series of patches screwed together, and it's like, oh my God.
Oh, yes. Our house that my wife and I have lived in now for 22 years, there were some good builders in our neighborhood and some not good builders, and it was a new build, I guess, in 2000. We were like the third owners. And we discovered some things. Actually, we're still kind of discovering some things that, they kind of, shall we say, you can tell they went on a budget.
Yeah, there's a builder or two around the area that anytime we come up to one of the houses that they've done, it's always just an experience, we'll put it that way. Flexible ducting has its uses and its purposes, not what they were using it for.
Oh, no. But, I think being in our house is it's an improvement over the days when I lived in a mobile home. And that was an experience. Talk about everything being non-standard. That's where I first was introduced to Robertson screws.
Introduced to what was that?
I was just saying, when I had my mobile home a million years ago, that's when I was first introduced to Robertson screws. Found out that, everything is pretty much non-standard in those things.
Oh, they have a standard. It's the highway standard. Quite literally, that's the code that they get to build to, is the highway codes.
Yeah, I guess it pretty much is an RV that's clamped down to the cement.
Yep, and those are the codes that they get to use for the most part. Mobile home furnaces, they have to be a specific type because they're all designed to be under a higher pressure, a static pressure. So, like, a typical furnace in a house, we want to see the ductwork running at about half or 0.5 inches of water column as far as static pressure, total external. But mobile homes run up like 2 or 3 inches of static pressure.
Wow. I never realized that. I guess I never did. I had many problems with the with a furnace per se, but it was interesting getting underneath there and doing heat tape for the first time, and I am not what you would call a handyman, but I had to learn a few things. Number one, if you don't put heat tape on your pipes, guess what happens there?
I wish I could say I've never had to deal with that, but when I was a kid, the place my mom had, the heat tape failed in a certain section, and I had to get underneath there, and I learned at a very young age how to patch in a piece of water pipe.
Yeah, thankfully I never had to go that far. I do have to say that when I first moved in there, the water smelled like sulfur because they were on a well system, and finally they hooked it up to municipal water after a couple of years, and gee, that made a big difference. But and I didn't mind paying the water bill, really, because it was better than firing up my shower every morning and you know, smelling like somebody just set off a bunch of smoke bombs in my house.
Oh, yeah. City water is nice. Except for the bills with some of them, like Charlotte, when I lived out there, my gosh, that bill was, it seemed exorbitant, for sure.
Yeah, we don't have it too bad. We live in St. John's now, and it's not bad, but, yeah, I was on BAP for a while. Hang on just a second. I think I'm being redirected here. Hang on. We've got a big traffic accident.
Standing by.
Okay, while they're redirecting him, do you know when the local club meets?
I don't know when the local club meets. I want to say it was on a Friday. I can't remember if it was the second or third Friday, or first or second Friday of the month.
Okay, thank you. I just pulled into the area. Alpha India 5 Kilo Echo, and I was just trying to get the phone working.
Yeah, copy. KF8 BRD. I'm just got my ticket about a month or so ago, so I'm still kind of learning the ropes too, you know.
Right.
I see. There was another gentleman that just keyed in. Is that accident anywhere near Grand Ledge? Because I'm seeing the wee-woos going around.
That is on the northeast end of East Lansing.
To the other gentleman out there, what area were you saying you came from?
I came out of Oklahoma. I'm currently located about halfway from between Columbiaville and Lapeer.
Oh, okay. So this is the, I'm still getting used to the repeaters. This must be one of the linked repeaters.
Sounds like it. I didn't realize, well, I just looked it up out of the repeater book, but and it doesn't do a good job of letting you know which ones are linked to which.
Because if you're out near Lapeer, I'm in the greater Lansing area.
Yeah, that's pretty long legs for 2 meters.
To the other gentleman I was initially talking to, where are you from? I think you said you were out north near Bath.
USL's up as far as Tallis.
Okay, all three of you are keying on each other, but you're all on a linked repeater system, yes.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and step out here. I'm to my destination right now, so KF8, BRD, I'm going to go clear.
Out the end of 5 Kilo Echo, out.
W8 Finland.
Yeah, I think I'm going to step out here as well. It's getting kind of heavy, so I'm going to concentrate on that. But 73 to everyone, great talking with y'all. Have a good afternoon. KN8, CAD, clear. KF8, BAW, monitoring. KF8, BAW, monitoring.
KF8, SDV, go ahead there. Up here at East Tonawas, I am. Steve, operator.
Good evening, this is KF8. AW, how's things going?
Well, I'm still on the shiny side of the grass up here in East Tawas over the bay there, watching some boats come in and out of the bay, Roger.
Yeah, I'm down here in Millington, and you're coming in really loud and clear. I'm on this little handheld and doing really good. Thank you for getting back with me.
Yeah, Roger that. Got the good signal on you. Yep. Anybody that gets into that 310 down there, all the way up to East Tawas, I'm on the 2980 mobile. It's a good machine, right?
It's nice to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here in Tawas Bay. Well, watching some boats. I usually come down here to the state park, and I like to watch the big boats go outbound and downbound, but I haven't seen one today, so I came over to the Chinese restaurant, and I said, what? Give me some chow, Roger.
Yeah, back about a lifetime ago, I used to haul up there by Tawas, out of All Gray, Alabaster.
Yeah, I copy that. Yeah, it's kind of neat they have the, there's a mama brood of mallard ducks. And all the little babies, all the turkeys, everything's just starting to, getting a little bigger up here, right? Even seeing a couple of spotted fawns.
One time when I was coming back from Faster, I was hauling gypsum, and I used to come out of Standish. They've redone the 23 since then, but when I would come around there hauling for Stone Transport, I seen there was this deer standing underneath the power lines, and he was a big old buck. He looked like the Mutual of Omaha commercial. He was 8 to 10 point, just a beautiful animal.
Audio, copy that. Yeah, I'm a deer hunter. I hunt. I never got a 10 point up here yet, but I got a couple of posts that, one of them up in the UP back in the 1990s, but I got his brother, his 8 point.
One of the girls that worked for me shot a 6 point with her Jeep Cherokee this morning.
Whoopsies! Yeah, they're probably in velvet, I would assume.
Yes, it was. It was very dead and very much in velvet. And now her husband has a whole lot of work to do on the left side of her Jeep Cherokee.
Yeah, Roger, copy that. Yep, there's a whole lot of deer out here on the by Tomlin State Park, and I had to hit the binder a couple times, and and then I only seen one buck out there, and that was last fall. It was a 4-point, and there's like 39 doe. So some of these just start poking them off.
I got about a 10-acre hay field that I think I'm raising deer because I've seen about six of them over the last 2 weeks in the far corner. But yet, when you when deer season rolls around, you think you'll find them? Probably not.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, you know what? I heard there were some changes to the youth hunt this year that they were only allowed. Antlerless deer. We'll see how that rolls.
With the amount of deer that are around here, they should be able to shoot anything that moves. We have seen deer by literally the hundreds. You know, 10 here, 20 there, 30 there. The herd seems to be growing exponentially.
Yeah, well, up here where the National Forest is, and, you know, it's all National Forest, and there's, you know, people have their private land, state land, and, but I'm here to tell you, the only really nice deer you see only seems to end up on the people's property that have either got stuff planted out there, or they're chumming them in with corn and beets, you know. Kind of frown on that, but I used to be a bow hunter, and I used to come them in with sugar beets and carrots and apples, you know, back in the day, but that was bow hunting, and, you know, that's a little bit tougher, and then let the crossbow thing come in, which really crossbows aren't any more accurate than a bow, and I can put money on that.
Yeah, I'm not much of a hunter, I'm not against it. I've spent the last few years in school doing things for what I do for a living, but my son and my cousin, they hunt my property and they hunt a surrounding property, and they've been able to glean out a few deer, but not as much as we need.
Yeah, Roger, copy that. Yeah, I had I went down to my cousin's down there in the Thumb over there by, East Dakota City. And I can see all the windmills, the wind generators from Tawas all the way across the lake. And so my sister and I went down there 4th of July, like 3 years ago. And it was amazing how many of those things, what are they, like $500 or something. And it's all bean fields and wheat fields and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, where my cousin lived, I couldn't even believe how many stupid deer were out there just walking around in July.
Oh, I understand that. I used to work with a farm up just north of us. And we had 20 acres in of soybeans and was lucky to get 5 bushel off almost per acre.
Well, that can't be good. What's that, like 20%?
It's enough to get you a permit from the DNR to shoot anything that walks through the field.
Yeah, copy that. I don't know if you're familiar with Cass City, and that I don't even know what road it was, but my sister and I left there the 5th of July, and I told her, I said, be careful, because we're driving through bean fields, and it wasn't no 15 seconds, deer jumped right out of the ditch right in front of us.
No kidding. We've had, I run a company, we do foster care and adoption work, and we had two cars in the last 3 years that were nearly totaled by deer jumping out of the ditch.
Yeah, copy. Yeah, I almost got me one here. It was back in March. Holy almost got him with my 3/4-ton truck. But, yeah, it got away.
You know, my uncle, he worked for a same company I used to work for. He got one of the company trucks that had them whistles that you can get. Well, I'll tell you what. He had them on there and never hit a deer, and the deer always would look at him. I've used them ever since on my own vehicles, and while occasionally you'll get one across the road, usually they look at you before they either walk across the road or they stop. And that goes for deer, squirrels, even dogs and cats.
Yeah, but back in the late 80s when I got my first 4-wheel truck, brand spanking new, had 30 miles on it when I bought it. My buddy that I was working with bought me a set of those. I stuck them on the bumper, and I'm here to tell you, I think they attract deer. So I bought me a greenhorn, a 3-trumpet greenhorn, and I'm here to tell you, it gets everybody out of the way.
I can respect that.
Yeah, it's ungodly loud. It has its own compressor and, yeah, just use with caution.
My wife told me I need to get one. She said my truck, I got a 2022 Ford F-350, and she says it has a sissy horn on it.
Well, it's probably a Ford.
Now, let's not go political.
Well, I'm kind of a GM guy, and I don't know. It's probably a diesel too, right?
Absolutely, it's my second.
Yeah, it's a big 6.7 in there. Is it 6.7 or 6.2? I forget. I'm an automotive mechanic. I don't know. I don't work on diesels, but I keep them all the time. They're not a big thing working on them.
My current one is a 6.7. My first one was the 6.0. And if you're a mechanic, you know all the issues that came with the 6.0. And I had them. $6,000 worth of them.
I wrapped a copy of the Navistar. Whoopsie! That was a mistake.
You know, once I got everything repaired, got the AR head studs and new head gaskets and stuff, the economy that it gave me, you know, was phenomenal. And it was just good, but it was a long and expensive trip getting there.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, I'm surprised that they didn't build those with studded heads, because that was just, yeah, I don't know. That turbo on them things would lift them heads right off there.
Well, it was a Ford Air. It was a rush to production. They were competing with GM, and they didn't fully test it. They didn't fully make sure what they had. And then they put that engine in almost every emergency vehicle out there. And when you got ambulances and whatever breaking down when they're being used, it gave it a really, really bad name.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, I did a... I went to school for, I took a whole semester of light duty diesel, and I did a thing up here, with the Dean Arbor group here with the AFC Diesel Tech, and yeah, he was not impressed with that either, and he'd been there for like 30 years, and well, you know, it's some of that trial and error, I guess. You know, I've worked in the automotive industry for, I used to work for IGT Automotive and Cooper Standard, and making all the parts for a lot of these vehicles, you know, back when they had emissions and fuel tubing and just a whole myriad of injection molded parts. And, you know, I've been around the block once or twice, right?
Well, you know, every manufacturer builds that one product that just makes you scratch your head and go, what were you thinking?
Yeah, roger that. Yep. Sometimes it makes me wonder, it was on the cab on a Friday, and I'm going on vacation, so just print it that way, and I'll put it in production.
You got that right. You just gotta kind of wonder. I cut my teeth working on Detroit engines, and ones that they're putting in cars, all the blue million electronics that are in these diesels just amaze me.
Yeah, it's kind of getting out of hand. Okay, brother, I gotta go in here. I'm sitting at the Chinese restaurant. I gotta go get my towel, so I'm gonna, on your final, be clear.
Well, it was good to talk to you. This is like one of my first times. I just got licensed as a technician about 3-4 months ago, but I haven't really been on the radio. You're my first contact without being on the net. Thank you for getting back with me. This is Kilo Fox BAW.
Roger that. K8SEV, clear with you. Later, later.
Kilo Fox Sound 8, BAW, monitoring.
KF8BAW, this is 88DS. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, this is KF8BAW.
Call sign here is Alpha Delta 8 Delta X-ray, 88DX. First name is Jim, Juliet, you might. Northbound 75 here in Grand Blanc, and heard you guys enter.
Oh, how's the roads?
Oh, not too shabby. I waited to hit the road. I got out of work at 5, I waited an extra hour and a half to hit the road, left work traffic there. Headed north for the weekend, and yeah, so far traffic's good. I'm in the construction zone down here, and we're rolling along Post Plus. I was going Posted Plus and you passed by SP, so even there I was rolling.
Yeah, I'm picking up a little flutter in your transmission, but generally picking it up clear.
Yeah, I guess I think I'm like, I'm guessing here, probably 80 miles from the repeater.
I'm coming off the repeater here in Millington.
Okay, I've got it in my radius, Quantica C, but I might be coming in via closer. Not sure what the networking is on this repeater. But that's the location I'm headed, just north of Quantica C, Bay City area.
Oh, okay. Well, how's the weather up there?
Well, I know once I get there. I home PDH is Royal Oak. So, like I said, I'm headed up there to hook onto the RV, and in the morning we'll be rolling for the camp down to the south. So, that is the plan at this point. But weather looks like it's going to be a good weekend for weather. So, looking forward to that little R&R and campfire and friends.
Yeah, I'm doing a fundraiser tomorrow night for the Masonic Lodge I belong to. And Friday we're heading to Lake City for the bump and run at the Eastern Michigan State Fair.
Oh, okay. Sounds like a fun-filled weekend as well. Very good. Yeah, I heard you and the other guy in there talking about the diesel stuff, and I think the 6.4, the one in between there was just as bad, if not worse, when it comes to sensors and all the other stuff. 6.0 has definitely had the head gasket and EGR issues, but the 6.4 has had all kind of other issues. I'm running the 6.7 right now. So far, knock on wood, other than general maintenance, it's been pretty solid. I've got 150 plus on the odometer, so.
Yeah, I like my 6.7. I heard the 6.4 had a lot of lifter issues, and like I told the other guy, 6.0, and if it could go wrong, if it was on the list of things that could go wrong with the 6.0, we had it. We were in New York and had the head gaskets blow, and wound up having my son-in-law and daughter have to come and rescue my truck.
Those bolts did not do it justice, that's for sure. But like I said, you bulletproof that motor. It's a pretty decent setup after it's bulletproof. But like you said, it's $5,000-$6,000 bulletproof. You would think the factory would have spent half of that and made it that way from the factory, they'd still probably be running a 6-liter.
Well, I took and had all the work done. Had the new oil cooler and all that, and the heads and all that done, and then I put a tuner in it. That truck ran great. I was getting phenomenal fuel mileage and performance, and I still see the guy even today drive back and forth literally in front of my house with my old truck, and it's hard to feel like I'm letting go of it.
Years ago, I had one that actually had like 175,000 on it, and I said, you rent before you start nickel dime at me. Sold it, and the guy I sold it to was a friend of a friend, and he drove that truck 350,000 miles and only put very little into it. I think he put a throttle body position switch in it, general maintenance, and that was it. And I did the same thing. I always wondered, why didn't I keep that truck? Yeah, like I said, the 6.7, I definitely like out of the box, it's got plenty of power, plenty of torque, and I'm still running stock emissions on the truck, so I'm pushing as much to the rear wheels I can through the stock emissions. The DPF and stuff won't take any more airflow, so you're limited to exactly how much airflow you can get through that setup. I could make more if I wanted to, but what I do and what I tow, I'm making, like I said, 590-something. I think 592 or 594 to the rear wheels on the dyno, so I'm very happy with that.
So that makes me feel good. Makes me feel like the truck payments I'm making are worthwhile. I ordered my truck in March of 2022. Wasn't able to pick it up till the end of October due to ship issues, but we wound up getting rid of our old one because the only thing that was holding the box together was the paint on the outside and the bed liner on the inside.
Yeah, that's part of their problem for sure. The way that's designed, it holds the water and it pops out. that the engineer that designed that ought to have his head examined. But yeah, as I say, for your 22 that you got there, the two best, you know, for performance wise, would be one would be the air cleaner, and the other would be I don't know if you hang on 1 second. Commander. That made a world of difference in the throttle response, because it allows you to recalibrate that throttle input, so better throttle response. You get a lot less turbo lag to feel when you go off or you stand into it.
I'll keep that in mind, because my other one I had the tank was all redone, the exhaust was all redone. There were some things that were, it was hollowed out on almost a 5-inch exhaust out the back. And then,
so that's the beauty of that, the one I'm talking about, Banks makes it. It's EPA compliant. So it doesn't void warranties or nothing like that, because it doesn't modify, change, or do anything with the onboard computers or anything. Also, that setup is the only one, at least it was at the time, I could be wrong now, that was the only one that has fail-safe circuitry built into it, so that you were out on the road and the device fails, it bypasses the device and puts it right back into stock mode. All the other ones, you know, all the other tuners and everything that I looked at, that deal, if they failed, you're dead on the road.
Awesome, and that was the Banks. What was that for? The throttle? Say that again.
It's called a Commander, Throttle Commander. You can go to Banks.com and look it up. He's got all the information and stuff on it there.
Awesome. You know, I had a 89 F350 with a 460 in it. I love that truck, except for it got 8 miles a gallon. 8 miles a gallon empty, 8 miles a gallon loaded up. I had, at the time, 2 drive forces. Didn't matter. Would pull like nobody's business, but it was about 8 miles a gallon.
I think I'm losing a repeater here. I'm coming through the Flint area, so I'll let you go, and I'm gonna pay attention to traffic here. It was good chatting with you, and maybe we'll catch up again on the law there and compare notes. Thanks for now. ADOGX, back to you to wrap it up.
And 73-0, KFA, DAW, monitoring. KF8, BAW, monitoring.
Charlie Bravo, mobile on Bay Road, calling any station. Kilo Echo 8, Charlie Bravo, mobile.
fifth ACOG monitoring.
KF8CLS monitoring.
Fox, Romeo, mobile, and monitoring.